Welcome to the Access VFX
podcast, pursuing inclusion,
diversity,
awareness
and opportunity
in VFX,
animation
and games industries.
Hi, I'm Simon Devereaux, founder and director of Access VFX, bringing the visual effects, animation and games industry together, working towards a shared goal to make our industry more diverse and inclusive by taking action rather than just talking about it. Hello, I'm Simon, founder and director of Access VFX, and welcome to another episode of the Access VFX podcast, season 3, episode 3. Now, do we have a treat for you? On the evening of Thursday, the 21st of September, 2003, XVFX, the Access VFX community for people of color, held their End the Summer with XVFX event, kindly hosted at Framestore London and sponsored by Foundry. In addition to hosting a wonderful networking opportunity and event, we also had a dynamic panel discussion on the night with near-peer industry guests from our members' studios in creative, production and tech positions. Expertly chaired by Access VFX board members, executive producer Anna Kande and creative director Nene Pars-Sotam, all emceed by VFX supervisor and filmmaker Mark Pinheiro, our brilliant panel provided insight from Dean Eggline producer Alicia Huxtable, Framestore Lab support engineer Darren Owaduni, and creative storyteller Hamid Adijan. The good news is that we recorded the entire discussion for your podcasting pleasure. This was one of my personal favourite panels from any of our Access VFX events, as it covers both near-peer career advice and the experiences of people of colour working in our industry. So enough from me. Here it is, episode 3, season 3, our XVFX panel discussion, live from Framestore.
Thanks for coming to XVFX 2023. We actually did this in 2021, pretty much the same sort of numbers. It's always a very, very impressive turnout, lots of interesting faces, and a very, very interesting panel for you tonight. So if I may just begin introducing everybody who you're going to be hearing from. We have Alicia Huxtable here, and Alicia's been So Alicia's been working for around 5-6 years, I think it is, and currently working as a visual effects producer, line producer over at DNEG. And I think you've been in that position for around 3 years, is that right?
Five months.
I've been recently promoted. Success stories. And then to her left, we have Hamid. And Hamid is a filmmaker and a tech specialist. Is that right?
Analyst.
Working for around 10 years in tech, and then recently, which I'm really interested to hear about, won a New York International Film Award. Best film winner for a short animation that you made. So congratulations to you. And we have Darren. And Darren, I worked with 2 years ago. We bumped into each other here in Framestore. And Darren, you're doing some super interesting work, aren't you? So Darren's work was working in IT and working in tech. And then I think you've blossomed out of that now. Is that a way to say it? Into working into is it IA or AI Interactive? How do you describe it? IA Labs, which generally involves doing kind of large LED screen work presentations, this kind of thing. So, and that's now taking you, is it true? Is it taking you around the world, Derry?
The world.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic news. So we're going to hear from Derry. And then, of course, let me bring these lovely ladies to the end. We have a non-executive director of Access here with Annie. This is Annie Akander, everybody. Annie has been a producer you started in, if I'm correct, 2009, is it? Almost approaching 15 years at the top. Annie's been working on everything from fairground rides, how would you describe those?
Theme park rides.
And then came from those into the VFX industry, and has been working at DNEG for a number of years now across a number of projects at the highest level. So we have lovely Annie here. And now we have Nina. Now, Nina's been working for 20 years as a designer, and then, you know, that evolved into becoming a creative director and an art director, and she's kind of bouncing around at the top, you know, one job or the other, doing that kind of thing. Usually for very big companies, Walt Disney, AWS, I'm not allowed to say that, she doesn't like it. But Nina's been doing some fantastic work, so we're going to hear from her perspective as well tonight. So we've got a fantastic panel, everybody. And then there's me, of course. So I'm Mark Nero. I'm a friend of Access VFX. I'm not Access VFX, and I'll say that just in case I say something that isn't really on the Access VFX line. So just to protect Simon and the company, all right? I'm basically an old guy. He's been working for about 30 years across film, doing various things. I've written, I've directed, and I supervise visual effects work. That's basically me. And I'm going to try my best to host tonight. So thank you very much for listening. And I think I'm going to pass the mic over to these guys now. But first, probably, do you have any burning questions that we want to open up the floor with? Should we hand the microphone over to you guys? Thank you, guys.
Hi, everyone again. For those of you, I think I see a few familiar faces. So it's nice to have you back here to another one of our Access VFX, XVFX events. As Mark has already explained, we have a fantastic panel. Myself and Anne will be hosting this panel. We're not talking. If you want to find out about me, hit one of the podcasts. Yeah, exactly. We'll talk to us later. But yeah, we're excited to be here and to talk to our great panel. So we're going to have another intro because I know Mark introduced you, but we'd like to hear from your perspective. We should you. So we're going to start with... It's always better hearing it directly from them, isn't it? So we're going to start with you, Darren. Just give us a... Just give us a little bit of an intro to what you do and we'll take it from there.
Hi everyone, I'm Darren Ordini and I've been in my screen store for about 3.5 years, I would say. I've always wanted to be in the industry, but I think along the line I realised that my interests changed, so I kind of moved into the tech side of VFX, and that's what I'm kind of exploring. I work in the labs department at Frame Store, which handles digital signage. The way that we like to describe it is to use an example of Times Square, those massive screens that you see out in Times Square. We essentially create content for those and we help, you know, bring those to life, whether that's internally for our clients or externally, but everyone's able to see them.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Amid?
Yeah, over to you.
Yeah. Hi guys, so my name is Amid. I run a boutique small animation studio that we provide animation services for advertising agencies, and I am also working on a startup that is a corporate learning solution that uses interactive films and storytelling to basically teach about inclusivity in the workplace and emotional intelligence. So everything I do, it's all about storytelling. That's me.
Hi everyone. I'm Alicia. I'm a visual effects line producer at Elbow Negative. I have wanted to be in industry for a very long time, but originally I wanted to be a compositing artist, so I studied compositing for a number of years, and then worked in and established a freelancing studio to do cinematic visualizers on Unreal Engine. Realized that production was the route for me and pretty much set route on that, and here I am, and that's pretty much it.
Do I need the mic? I'm Nigerian. Do I need the mic? All right, no worries. Okay, cool. Because obviously the echo is a bit weird for me. But anyway, I thought we'll start at the beginning. So I'm going to ask each of you, what was it that motivated you to pursue a career in your chosen field? And we'll start with you, Hamid.
Oh, wow.
Mix it up, straight in.
All right, cool. Okay, if you guys really want to hear the story about what motivated me to pursue this line of career. So it happened to me when I was in college, I think I was about 16, 15. I went to Richmond upon Thames College in Twickenham. And I was in the computer room at lunchtime watching Naruto on when everybody else was out. And, you know, I'd have been out into Sainsbury's, got my donuts and chicken. That was my lunch. And I bring it back. I was watching Naruto. And when you eat a lot of donuts, there's a lot of sugar in your system and you can't stop moving. And at that point, I think I was watching a particular fight between Buckley. I don't know if you guys know about Naruto. Yes. I mean, let's not get deep into it. But basically, I was watching a particular fight that was inspiring me. And I was thinking to myself, I want to do this. I want to make that an animation. And I think that was when I made that decision that I was going to do it. I knew it was an impossible task because I'd never seen anyone like me do that type back then, be in that industry or do that. So I knew that I'm literally saying that I want to create this path for myself. But I believed it was possible because Naruto does that kind of stuff all the time. So I'm like, if he can do it, I can do it. That's my story.
You don't have any fox spirits in you. That was his thing. No worries. So I'm going to go to you, Alicia. Same question. What motivated you to get into this chosen career of yours?
Similar story, actually.
What, with Naruto?
But I was in college at the time, and I was contemplating dropping out because I just felt like it wasn't for me. I was doing A-level physics and A-level maths, and I thought I was a brain box, and I really was not. So I went to a career fair, and I saw a visual effects breakdown for Star Wars. And I saw how they used the mathematic graphs to create the simulations, and I was pretty much set sold. That was my mission. That was it. That was it.
I love that. That's great. Though. You don't have to clap after the question. Obviously, it's a nice story. It's a great story. Sorry, go on, Darren.
For me, I'd say I've always wanted to be in film. I grew up watching films, animations, cartoons, similar to you guys. I'm sure we're all inspired by the things that we saw when we were growing up. And so that was always my path. I was always in art class, in school, at uni, I studied visual effects. But I think I'd say that the career path that I planned for myself isn't exactly the one I have actually ended up on. Because I always wanted to be an animator. And I think at one point in my life, I realized that it wasn't exactly my passion, but I was still passionate about the industry. And so that drove me to actually explore options outside of the industry, learn about tech and get interested in that side of things before realizing that tech actually exists within visual effects, which is something that I've never been exposed to before. So
That's just so interesting, because for me, and I can imagine quite a few people, it's just getting into the kind of the creative part, but you already knew about the creative part, it's just the tech part you didn't know that.
Exactly. Yeah. So the creative side brought me into the industry, but then I realized that, kind of like you, that, you know, the thing I was chasing after wasn't the thing that was maybe meant for me. So finding out that there was this whole different side to the industry that I'd never heard of, that was exciting for me. And it was, I was able to use experiences that I learned elsewhere and outside of the industry to then start building my career in the industry.
Sorry, yours is the first story I've come across where it's that way around. It's the most people I've spoken to, including myself, it's like, it's the other way around. So that's actually really cool. Sorry, Anne.
Thank you, guys. First of all, can I just say, thank you all for showing up today. Honestly, like, thank you all for not just show, like, we sold out of tickets. Like, we were messaging each other, like, this morning, and we had to increase the ticket numbers, and we sold out. And it just really means a lot to us. We, all of us, do this for free. And for all of you to actually just take your time, your precious working evenings to show up, I just have to say really thank you. It just warms my heart to see all of you. Thank you. And it's funny because what you said, I was saying this, I think I was saying this to your sister when I met her, Annie. She was telling me, you know, she studied psychology and what she was doing. And I said to her, you don't have to decide what it is you want to do. And you don't have to decide that fast. You don't have to decide that, oh my God, I studied character animation nearly 20 years ago. And I wanted to be an animator. My path was, I was going to work in Pixar and retire. That would be done. I'm fine. And someone told me to try producing nearly 15 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. And it's just really interesting that, like, the path that leads you into the industry isn't the path that you end up staying in. And you can change your mind anytime. you know, I can be like, oh, I don't want to be a producer anymore. You know, I want to go and learn how to roto. I mean, not to roto, but you know what I mean? So it's just really interesting to always remember that as like people coming up in the industry that like, even if you always thought I want to be a compositor, keeping an open mind and just being open to learning and absorbing information, your story doesn't have to end at compositing. It can end anywhere. So thank you all for really sharing that. Obviously, we set up XVFX almost three and a half years ago now to kind of shine more light on people of color in the industry. And I have actually never met so many people of color in the industry that work in VFX since XVFX started. I just didn't think there was that many of us. Because when we were coming up, we were all siloed. We were literally just all like, you know, I've worked in a company that had like 100 white men. I was the only black person working there. So I left. But I wanted to just ask you guys, what are some of the challenges as people of color that you have faced just coming up in your industry? This is an absolutely safe space. You don't have to say anything that you're uncomfortable with, but just in terms of like some of the challenges, I'm sure we'll all resonate with them, but some of the challenges that you've actually just faced coming up in the industry. You can go first.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to hear it's just how different it is from us.
Yeah, from us, yeah.
I think so many people can probably relate to this, but growing up, I was always surrounded by people, my family especially, who one has become lawyers and doctors and, you know, the professions that made the real money. And so I always felt pressure to, you know, from at least a personal side, to pursue what people around me saw as successful. And I think that was challenging for me because I always felt like, you know, an other, even in the people that I knew, friends and family, because no one really understood exactly what I was talking about when I talked about animation and visual effects. And I had to do all that research myself. And, you know, not having that support, I think, in my own community, it made it kind of a struggle. I think that is what made me work so hard and is what got me to where I am now. But, you know, I think events like this and creating spaces like this where you can actually see, like you said, people who look like you who are already in the industry, and to meet people and to have them say to you know, it's possible. You don't have to stick to a path that's expected of you. You can experiment and you can see what else is out there. And I'd say that was probably one of the biggest challenges for me, just pushing myself to be able to carry on the path that I wanted.
Even though you felt different. Isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. I think now being able to meet so many different people in this industry makes it feel worth it. But yeah, I think being able to keep going sometimes can be a struggle.
Hamid? Yeah, thank you. Challenge. For me, yeah, I relate to what you said, Devon, obviously, because, you know, I'm from the same background. I studied electronic systems. I did a master's in electronic systems at uni, so also in the tech space. But whilst I was doing that, unlike you, you went into the creative space and you realized, actually, you want to do tech. I was doing tech and I was like, actually, I don't want to do this. I want to do creative. I want to be creative. And I'd say the challenge that I faced is basically I had no idea how to start. I had no idea how to begin. I knew the goal that I wanted because I could see it, but I didn't know how to get there and I didn't know the path. So I was literally just making it up as I go along. And I think about it now, it's ridiculous, but I think the reason why I was so adamant that I was going to do it once again, hate to say this, but it's anime, splitting Luffy kept saying he wants to be the king of the pirates. So I said to myself, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. I had no idea how I was going to do it. And I think that was the main challenge because I didn't know anyone in the industry. I didn't even know that, you know, there were black people in the industry, if I'm being honest with you. When I started making comics in uni, whilst I was still studying engineering and I'd go to comic cons to set it, there weren't that many. There's very few black artists. Obviously, as time went on, I saw the change. I saw more and more of us coming in, and I appreciated that. I loved that. But in the beginning, I was just like, I'll just take it one step at a time and I'll forge my own path. And I feel like that, you know, I'm grateful because it made me who I am today, but I feel like it also took me longer than it should have.
100%.
The obstacles.
The obstacles, yeah. They slow you down, don't they?
Yeah.
I feel like my opinion is slightly different. I 100% agree. I feel like we've all heard that phrase of like, why don't you just be a doctor? And it's like, I don't want to be a doctor. I agree, you don't. I feel like a challenge for me is ignorance, but ignorance on both sides of the penny, which would be ignorance of myself and ignorance from others around me. Ignorance from myself for not realizing that a lot of the times I'm just the chosen black girl and I'm just there because of that reason, and not utilizing that to the best of my ability, because it ends up with you having imposter syndrome. You don't really understand why you're there. You just know that you're there. So it makes it hard. It makes it hard, especially not having other people around you that you can speak to and be like, hey, like, how do I do this? Or that you feel that comfortability. And then there's ignorance with others and not realizing that you do feel isolated in that position. You do, like, it does affect us. Like, we can't sit and pretend that being the only black person in the room doesn't feel awkward in occasions. And that's just the reality. So yeah. Ignorance, hard, it's a challenge for some.
Could you expand the back to awesome, right? Could you expand,
it deserves some applause, but it's
Could you expand on that first point, please? Yes. Because it would be interesting to hear how, just expand on that first point, I think.
Okay, for me, I'm a person that, like you, I'm a go-getter. I put my eyes on something, I want it, I get it, that's it, no questions asked. So I will pave my own path whether I ask someone or not, that is me. However, being like that, it leads yourself to open the door for others to invite opportunities towards you.
Okay.
So you get offered a lot of opportunities, you get offered a lot of positions. Without understanding or having a community around you, my family don't know what visual effects is. They don't know what my starting salary should be. They don't know what it looks like to be treated fairly in the workplace that I work in.
I see.
No one knows these things. And no one around me do I feel comfortable being able to do that for. Slightly different story, because I feel like I was able to reach out to women.
Okay.
For me.
Okay.
That really helped me. I joined the Women in Visual Effects Discord. That helped me a ton. And I was able to find that group and community for me that was allowing me to get to that position that I wanted to get to, like you, like just to get on that path and go straight for it. But without anyone, it's hard. It's difficult. You put yourself in a position where you're like, again, why am I here? How do I do this? Everyone knows what it's like on your first day of a new job. And if you don't know what to do, some people have confidence to just ask, and some people don't.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes you just need, you know, your work best friend. But as a person of color, sometimes it's not that easy. I mean, if you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. You get what I mean? Like, it's not that easy sometimes. For me, I'm grateful that I found people of color and I found women that I could 100% just get along with, and they accepted me for who I am. But when you're in a position where it's like a lot of just, why not? There's no position of relatability.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's it.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just not a position of relatability that you can find. You just need, sometimes that, there's that one thing that's relatable that you find with one person and your best friends forever.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like me and Mead with the harmony. No, that's not even to be funny. This is exactly it. It's like, I've made many friends in the industry because we bonded over a love of one part of the industry, like Jonathan Akwe, it was his comic books. So you're absolutely right. The Discord is very interesting. I'd be keen to understand how you found that Discord, because I didn't know that sort of thing even existed.
Access to events.
Really?
Yeah.
Big up, Simon. Big up, Simon. We love the success stories, knowing that the content that we put out is actually helpful. Awesome, thank you for that. Sarah, next question. So, as you know, in fact, Alicia, to your point, collaboration is key, yes. Right? So can you discuss some of the collaborations or mentorships that you had that played a role in your professional development?
I'm a key collaborator, so I guess we have to pick one, collaboration or mentorships, because I feel like there's a lot in both.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so which one do you feel was more effective then?
Mentorships?
Okay.
Well, like, collaboration has its benefits, of course. there's no question asked. But for me, in terms of actually kickstarting my career, it was mentorships. When I started, when I found the Star Wars breakdown, I joined university. I studied visual effects as well. I was very dedicated. Wanted to be a DMP artist, digital map painting, if anyone. Eventually, composer team realized I was in production. And then after that, I was kind of like, okay, where do I go next? Like, what do I do next? Access VFX came to my university. They spoke, said you fused interested in mentorship. And I signed up and I got partnered with a mentor. Well, a mentor reached out to me. She said, I saw you in the forums and like, let's just talk. Her name was Shayna Holmes. She is amazing. She's in America. Her timing was like crazy different, so I'd wait up for hours to talk to her. But it was beneficial. Like, she changed my life. She changed my perception. She taught me how to talk in interviews. She taught me how to even figure out what specifically I wanted. She made me realize that there's more to visual effects. There's different levels and different careers and different opportunities. So yeah, that was beneficial. But as well as just meeting other people on the way, I was just saying to you guys as well that mentorship to me is more than just asking someone, hey, can you be my mentor? It's about the guidance that you receive around you throughout your journey. And I've received guidance from so many people, too many.
Fantastic.
You
say too many?
Too many.
Too many, that's interesting.
I would say too many because I am grateful that I've had that experience and not a lot of people had that.
I see. So you thought you'd been greedy?
Yeah. A little bit greedy. I'm more outspoken. Mm-hmm. So I will be like, do you want to be my mentor? And they'll be like, yeah, let's do it. And then I'll turn around to someone else and say, do you want to be your mentor?
That's awesome.
So yeah, I'm greedy.
You went out and got it, you know, which is part of what you have to do, isn't it? You know, Darren, same question.
I agree in terms of, I'd say I probably had more mentorships, more unscheduled mentorships probably. And again, we discussed this earlier, but the people that you meet along the way, when I was trying to learn more about the industry, I had to take those steps and reach out to people as well, which was way outside of my comfort zone because I do not like having to talk to people unless I have to. But, you know, reaching out to people in the industry and speaking to them and asking, and, you know, the ones who would reply would give me so much valuable information. And coming to Framestore, for example, there's access to so many different people in so many different areas because everyone's so open to answer questions. So I had to teach myself to start to approach people more and speak to people and find out, you know, their backgrounds and where they came from. And I'm about to call out Simon. I think since I met Simon as well, he's one of the people here who's, I think, I'm not sure if he sees how much of an introvert I am, but he's always pushing me to do things like this, pushing me to join programs. I joined his mentorship program, which was immensely helpful because I think it's one thing, you kind of touched on this, Alicia, it's one thing to maybe learn the skills that you need to progress in the industry. I think the one thing that I knew that I was lacking, for instance, was confidence sometimes to ask for the things that, you know, that I wanted or the things I felt I deserved or the things I should have. So I would just, you know, stay in my lane essentially and not try and push myself to go forward. So the mentorship program is one of the things that helped me with that. So yeah, I was in touch with a producer and she'd gone really far in her career and she was able to talk me through the steps that she took and, you know, the things that she learned and helped me apply those to my day-to-day life. And I think that's been a bit immense help as well.
Fantastic. Do you find that it was a good balance of, because you mentioned about confidence and confidence obviously is like a soft skill as opposed to your technical ability. So do you feel that the mentorship helped you get that balance basically?
Definitely. I think I relied a lot on those hard skills, on being able to say, you know, this is my resume, this is what I can do. But when you're actually in a position to do that sometimes and you realize, you know, if you can't talk to the right people, if you can't make the right moves, and if you can't use those essential soft skills, you might find that you're not really going anywhere and you don't really understand why. But it's because there's so much more than the practical skills that you need to do your job.
Absolutely. I think that's key as well, because I've found my mentors, that's our mentees, that it's like, yes, you have your technical ability, but yes, you have to know how to be able to speak to a room, be able to stand up for yourself, all of those soft skills that will help you progress further. Cool. Mead.
Cool. My story is a bit different, because I still consider myself new to this industry, because I didn't go in through a corporate existing company. You know, I don't know a lot of the, I'm learning terminology for the first time still. So because I took like an outside route, I came in from an outsider. So I'll say for the first 9 years, I didn't really have any mentors. I just did it on my own, and I kind of just tried to figure it out. Collaborations though, I did have a collaborator. His name is Jordan. He is at the Lions event right now. Apparently the Lions have an event at the same time that this is going on. But how he reached out to me is pretty interesting, because, you know, I was just doing my thing, putting out the comics and the mangas that I make on Instagram. And he reached out and was like, I love what you're doing. I want to be a part of it. You know, anything I can do to help. And I was like, okay, cool. This is friends. Let's do it. Let's just work together. And we didn't really do much, but then roughly around the same time that he reached out, that was when a corporate company, the big pharmaceutical company actually reached out to us. I didn't even know it was a big pharmaceutical company. We just got a random email saying, oh, we saw an article that you guys created a manga that basically shows neurodiversity in a positive light. Can you do the same for kids with asthma? And I get a lot of these emails, and before Jordan joined, I used to get a lot of these emails, and then I would follow up and it turned out to be nothing on this, so I used to do it for free. So I was ignoring that email. I was like, Jordan was like, oh, look at this email. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Reply to them, if they're serious, let me know. He replied, and then when I found out the client behind it, I was like, oh, Jordan, let me take over. This is money. You know, so yeah, but it's funny, because I told this story because if Jordan hadn't come on board and I got that email, I would have just ignored it. And then I wouldn't be where I am today. So collaboration is quite important. I'd say last year was when I got my first mentor. His name is Viv Amun, Mr. Amun. He's an inspiring guy. He's an amazing guy. And he's really helped me in terms of like mental fortitude, in terms of the imposter syndrome, because like I said, I'm not from this world. I'm like outside. So when I come in and people are saying things and I'm like, oh, what does that mean? I keep having to remind myself, you're supposed to be here. You have your own studio. So it doesn't matter. But at the same time, it's nice to have people that have been there that can guide you. So I understand.
Awesome. I just want to pick up on your point about content, because I was found by putting content out there. It wasn't on social media. Social media didn't exist when I put that. it really didn't. Yeah, showing my age there. But because I work in advertising, I know for a fact that there have been plenty of projects that I've been able to work on, or I've been able to get people into, simply because of some of the work they have put out on social media. Mm. So in terms of Hamid's point with collaboration, don't be afraid to collaborate, to get together, put something out there that you really care about. You know, you have a subject that you really want to make known, especially if it's based on your culture, put it out there. You'd be amazed at who would kind of pick you up. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually another collaboration that took me places was the award-winning film you were talking about. That was a collaboration with George the Poet, you know, and once again,
George the Poet?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Sorry. George Poet is pretty big.
Yeah. And once again, that was mainly through Jordan. You know, Jordan was the one that was like, oh, I've been listening to George's podcast. It's dope. Bro, we got to work with him. I'm like, is it really that good? Let me listen to it. I listen to it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. And then we made an effort to reach out to George and actually do this thing. So, and that led to us winning that award. So, and I feel like collaboration, it's quite important for my journey at least.
You guys are so inspiring. Thank you for sharing those stories. I was just going to say one thing about mentorship, actually, because I think sometimes when we think of mentorship, we always think mentorship is up and you have to get a mentor, you know, someone that has been doing it for 10 or 20 years. your peers can be your mentors. Yeah. You can have junior people that can be your mentors. Anybody can really inspire you. I resonate with everything that you guys say about, you know, the challenges and being the only person. You know, I work for studios, and in the UK, there's only 3 of us that are Black people that do it in the UK. There's myself, there's Reese, who some of you met, and there's Jin. Reese is the only Black guy, and there's 2 Black women. I don't know any other Black people that do it in the industry. So we are our own peers, we are our own mentors. I text Reese pretty much multiple times a week to just go, have you worked with this person before? I'm about to sign this contract, you know, what do you think? Like, me and Reese mentor each other all the time. He'll ask me about this film. So don't ever think about mentorship as like, I need to find someone that's been doing it for 20 years. It could be your peers. Yeah. It could be somebody that's just started up in the industry that just inspired you to do something. You're doing something really interesting in animation. You're doing it in tech. Your route is very different. You know, you're a go-getter. You're a line producer. Now, all of you are inspiring me already. And this is something that I didn't have when I was coming up. So I see all of you as mentors for each other, but also even just mentors and inspiration for me to kind of go, no, you're doing something right here and keep going. So I just wanted to put that out there about mentorship. I think the last thing we want to talk about is, you guys have been doing this for some time now. So in a few years, you'll become veterans in your craft. If you were to be talking to somebody, there's some students here from Escape Studios. If you were talking to someone that's just about to start up in the industry and is a person of color, what advice would you give them to sort of make, not necessarily make their route easier, but how would you give them advice and how would you inspire them to sort of get in the industry? What advice would you give people that are just starting up? Amir, why don't you go first?
Good, because my advice is very simple. They'll have better advice. I would just advise people to do what I didn't do, because I feel like it would have saved me a lot of time and I would be a lot further right now, which is network. Get out there and meet the people in the industry and network. Network is very, very important. It's quite outstanding how important it is. I don't realize, you don't realize how significant and how much of an impact it has on your career until you stop doing it, and then you're like, whoa, I wouldn't have done this if I didn't do that, if I didn't meet all these people. I'm here today because I networked and I met Nene. So, you know, like, network is extremely important, and I would say that's the number one thing that I would give to people. Like, that would make your journey a lot easier. And network with people that are, I know you said your peers can be your mentors as well, but when you're networking, network with people that are older than you as well. Don't be afraid to just go to guys that look a bit older and get to know them and become their friends, because it can really take you far. That's my advice.
Awesome. Can you share gender? Can you? Sure.
For me, I would say passion, determination can get you to a lot of places. I feel like if you're passionate about something, hold on to that. Passion is like the biggest driving force you can possibly have. If there's anything you're passionate about in your life, right now, that's what you should be working on.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. Focus on your passion, because you can get to so many places. You can network, you can aspire to so many things. It can show you so many different things that you could possibly even want to do instead. You could find new passions. I wanted to do maths. I wanted to be a mechanical engineer. That was my passion. And my passion drove me towards visual effects. And that's my new passion. Be so determined about your passion, because you are the only person that can be determined about it. Your parents can be as determined as you want them to be, but they're not the ones that's going to wake you up in the morning and say to do what needs to be done. So, yeah, stick to your passion. Because once you lose it, you know, people say, like, you don't know what you have until it's gone. Mm. Once you lose your passion, when you don't want to pick up the guitar anymore, that's when it hurts.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, oh, like, I miss all the passion. Do it now. Pick up the guitar now. Apply for that job now. Drop out of school now.
If it does lead you to your passion.
Yeah. I would say, from my own personal experience, don't be afraid to explore and experiment. With hindsight, looking back at everything that I've done outside of this industry and that I thought was unrelated, all of those skills have helped me in some way where I am now. And I never thought that they'd be useful again. I thought, you know, I've moved on, I don't need this anymore. But all of those things have kind of molded me into who I am today. And have also, I think, molded the path that I'm on. So, you know, if you have different interests, definitely explore them. They might not be related to your passions, but, you know, I feel like everything is an experience, whether it's positive, whether it's negative. Something doesn't work, you tried it, try something else, and then just keep what you want in focus. But, you know, explore, speak to different people from different industries as well, see what they think, see how it ties into what your interests are. And I think that's, for me, that's where creativity comes from.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, pulling from other sources outside of yourself and from outside of your comfort zone as well.
Can I just make it like to talk? brilliant point. Absolutely brilliant point. Like I said, because I'm in advertising, that is one of kind of like the staples of advertising. You know, you need to be able to draw from different sources in order to create something that's new. And innovation comes from putting seemingly unrelated concepts together. So I think that's a brilliant point.
Okay. can we please give our awesome panel a round of applause? You guys have inspired me like beyond words. Like, I will stalk you all forever.
Yes.
In the nicest possible way. The last thing I was just going to say, just on the advice, just coming from me to a person of color, a person of, you know, minority background, is you belong everywhere you plant your feet. So don't ever feel like first day at a job, oh my God, it's this big VFS company. You belong absolutely everywhere you plant your feet. And as long as you believe that, tied into the passion and the determination and asking questions, every question is valid. As long as you believe that, that is like you're already leaving breadcrumbs for yourself and for other people that are coming. So just hold on to that. You absolutely belong everywhere you plant your feet. We're going to open it up, I think, to some Q&A, are we? Do we have time for Q&A? Do we?
We do have some time. We have around 5 to 10 minutes of question time, if anybody's...
So I'm going to pass it on to Mark, but if anyone has any questions, please don't
let anyone else. So I'm here to walk around and hand a mic out to whoever wants to raise their hand. Over there,
I went to art college with this chap 30 years ago.
So that's part of my question, and I'll pick up from the drop out of school comment that you mentioned.
I was joking.
It is a good comment, because that takes me to Mark Pinheiro. We've gone to college together many, many, many years ago. And we stuck to our passion, as you spoke about it. And I won't say how many years, because it goes into the decades, and we're still in the industry because of the passion. What advice do you give to the students out here in regards to studying this craft being so expensive to do? Because right now, I am in a student assistant at Escape Studios, which you well know. And trying to encourage them to go right through the 3 years of the course can be tricky when they're struggling financially.
Can I say something?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
I went to Escape as well.
Right? I think I recognize.
Yeah, probably. And during that time, my friend and I, we started a freelancing studio. And some people in Escape here that might know this, and there was like rumors about it, because we started a freelance studio. And the point of the story is utilize your resources. Utilize what you have. So we was making a music video for an artist, but none of us had the computer capacity or a render farm. So we decided to use the Uni render farm, and we completely crashed the server because everything was so But at the end of the day, we produced the work, we created a showreel, he got a job, and we got paid.
Yeah. Straight. Straight.
So yeah, like the universe, everyone suffered for one day, and there was like memes about it and who crashed the server. But if the university really know what we got out of it, I feel like they would have, maybe, hopefully, they would have given us the badge. Yeah. To utilize your resources, even if it means a computer cafe, find what works best. I made a computer, like built it by hand.
If that's
a bit more cost effective. Because we was into like pretty heavy, like it was like Unreal Engine 3 at the time. So it was extensive, if you guys know. So I needed heavy power, computer power, I need something heavy. So yeah, I know it's not the best and it's really hard like at the time, but especially if you're around the people network and find people who have resources that you can utilize as well. I think that's the best way.
Suppose I should give my 2 cents?
Yeah.
I worked at Escape, as you know, 6 years I ran Escape 2D department. It was relatively successful. A lot of people got work and we pretty much furnished the industry with 2D compositors, so it was a good thing. And I've worked with a lot of students on there who were in the situation that Ilmi describes. I wasn't much different to the students I taught. I had to take out a career development loan when I was 28 years old to be able to afford to study for 16 weeks. So $4,000 contributed towards the cost of the course. And then the $2,000 that was left over fed me. I squandered my money on pies. £5 a day basically to feed me for lunch or dinner, and I would get into the studio at 6 or 7 o'clock before the building opens, and I would leave. They'd kick me out at midnight. So that's just backing up what Alicia says, which is I would absolutely rinse anything that I had available to me. You know, I really would. I would squeeze every ounce of life out of it. Like a dog with a frisbee, do you know what I mean? When the dog gets that frisbee, it holds onto it, it's biting it, it won't let go, you're pulling it out of his mouth. You've got to be a bit like that. You've just got to be so, you know, on it and just stay on it, and any opportunity that comes, take it. I mean, everything that's been said here tonight about collaborating, you know, that's definitely going to help. If you can pull your resources together, that's good. Most of the software and things you need, the resources, very different now to how it was when I was around. There's a lot more available. You know, you have a free version of Unreal Engine. You can have free versions of, or student versions of, the software that you want to train and learn. You know, if you want to do compositing, Foundry are fantastic when it comes to providing free versions of the software. That's half the battle won, really. You know, the other stuff you need, the material, the tutorial, information, you know, YouTube, it's fantastic. It's like, in some ways, better than some university LMS systems, library management systems. There's so much out there. And I guess just to finish up on the point, I wouldn't spread myself across too many apps, although if you did, you know, you increase your chances of getting work from one or other app, you know, that you've learned. I would probably focus and specialize. For at least a period of time on just one, make sure you've consolidated your learning with a piece of work that can then appear on a showreel. Don't just learn it and then say, oh, I learned it, because talk is cheap and actually speaks louder than words. You need to see some example of the work you've done. You need to show that. So show is it's show business, right? It's the business of show. You need to have something. So you must consolidate your learning and your work. You must consolidate it as a piece of work on a showreel. And I just said, start, I would probably, just as I said, don't spread yourself too thinly. Try to focus on one app. And even if you're focusing on an app as big as something like Maya, you know, or Unreal, try to specialize if you can in one aspect, because that might be all you need to be able to get that foot in the door. And then you can continue growing, developing, stretching once you're in there.
Any other questions? I'm shy. Let's see this lady here.
I just want to say thank you for the panel. I'm not even in VFX, but I've really gained a lot from everything. I just wanted to ask a question about collaboration. What do you think, like just for everyone, what do you think is the one essential element that you look out for when you're trying to collaborate with someone?
Wow, for me, if I'm trying to collaborate with someone, how I know this person is going to be good to work with is if I see their passion. And I can't, I this might sound a bit cutthroat, but in terms of passion, I have to see something that you've done to show that passion. So basically what you said about talk is cheap, you know, where is the evidence? So in terms of collaborating with Jordan, I was more than happy to do that because I could see his work already on Instagram. And I was like, this guy's passionate and he's coming to me saying he wants to collaborate with me. So I know, and I can see his work, so I know he's worth it. You know, let's do this. I am ready to go there with you. So yeah, for me, it'd just be seeing evidence that they are truly passionate and they're not just all talk. That's the main thing. In terms of technical ability, all that kind of stuff, I feel like if they have passion, all of that can level up, you know, that we can grow together. It's just, do they have the passion? And if they have the passion, then it's more than likely we're going to get on. So I don't need to worry about chemistry because I admire people that inspire me. And when I see someone working hard on what they do, they will naturally inspire me. So yeah, that's me.
I would just add to that. I would say, and this is not just relating to VFX, but be open. You know, you have to be open. And what I would encourage everybody here to do, if you're staying a little bit later to mingle, is try and talk to like 5 people or 10 people that you don't know. I know some of you have come from the same company, but just like meet and talk to each other. The industry is going through a really mad time. There's a lot of people that are either coming out of work or have lost work. A lot of companies are struggling. So you don't know who you'd speak to today that goes, oh, my company's hiring for a line producer. Like, let me connect you to our HR person. Somebody's already done that today. Like, that's already happened today. Someone might be getting a job, so thank you. So just be open and talk to people. Don't be afraid. Because the first thing about collaboration is actually communicating.
Yes.
So you have to actually talk to people. Be open. And also don't make assumptions. Sometimes you're like, oh, I met that person. I don't think they're right. But you need to give it time as well. Collaboration is about time. It's about building relationships. It's about networking, getting to know the person. And then one conversation could then go, oh my God, I love that too. Oh my God, I love anime. I've never watched an episode of Naruto in my life. My brothers do, but they do. And it's like, and then that's how you guys collaborate. And now Hamid is here. So just be open, talk to people. I would really encourage everybody here to just talk to like 5 people that you don't know, because you might be able to be helping somebody else's career until the industry comes back. And come and talk to us as well. Like, we are here for all of you. This is really not about us. It's really for all of you. So we are here for all of you. Please come and talk to us. Share your stories. I can't wait to meet all of you. You're all so inspiring. But yeah, be open is what I would say. I think we have to round up soon. So is there any more questions? One more question. Alex.
Come on. Hello. This was directed to Alicia.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, yeah, to pick up the microphone again.
Yeah, exactly.
Popular. It was just to kind of go back on the first thing that you mentioned about you felt like you were singled out, or when you started out in this company, you felt like you were part of just the company's agenda when you felt like you were the only Black person there. And I was just wondering, was that because you were like, okay, I'm just being hired because I'm going to be the only Black girl here, and I feel like this is the only thing that can, you know, move their agenda forward. Is that what you felt? And if so, what do you feel would more transparency with the company enhance or like basically help you go through that?
I think it's a difficult question,
yeah,
because companies do that purposely. Yeah. Like, we don't know, companies hire a certain demographic to tick a checkbox. And it's good and it's bad as to what you're describing. The reason why it's good is because it creates diversity. But the reason why it's bad is if you're ticking only one checkbox, is it really diversity or is it just a checkbox? And that's where the issue lies. When it comes to, in my university, I think there was one other Black girl, she was in the year above me. It becomes to a point where I never looked around and was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm the only Black person here, like, this affects me in such a way, like, you're so, but certain people do feel like that, and I can relate to that experience. It's just more of a thing where it comes to friendship. The reason why I went back to university is because the one friend I made in university is just like everyone else, just like a Jordan, just like that one companion that you make. And it kind of changes your entire life. Like, it really does. And it's not to say that I don't feel like I can break companionship with any other race or ethnicity or nationality. Of course you can. But it's always going to be that level of understanding and relatability. I guess it's... I'm like, how do I answer this question?
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a really tough one. It's hard to say because it's more of an experience that you have to relate. Mm-hmm. I would have to tell you to go to a place where you're the only person from a demographic and try to make a friend. It's not to say it will be hard, but you're not going to feel comfortable. It's going to be a situation where you have to take yourself outside your comfort zone. And for us, we're people that are constantly pushed to push ourselves outside our comfort zone, which has made a benefit for us. But it doesn't mean I would have liked it.
A little bit easier.
Yeah.
A little bit easier. Can I add to your point? Because I have, unfortunately, I have quite extensive experience of that. We've gone into companies and they have told me that, you know, we've got you here because of your, you know, your skin colour, and we need to get the numbers up. I think one of the difficult things is the assumptions that come with it. So I've been told to my face, they didn't think I could do a good job. You know, so they just looked at me, and I actually had to say to them, what is that particular assumption based on? It's like, oh, it's the media, or it's what my mom told me, my grandmother, what, or whatever. And that's one of the microaggressions we tend to face in the workplace, is that underestimation, which happens all the time, which I've learned to use as a bit of a superpower, because it's very easy to blow someone out of the water when they think you can't do the work. So that's the point that I understand where you're coming from. It's that feeling of being uncomfortable, and then you have to sometimes explain parts of your culture to people because they don't understand it. Like my hair has been a subject of many, many discussions when I've been in workplace and I've told them this is that and whatnot. And after a while, it becomes exhausting. It does. So yes, the people, just to your point, some companies do it as a checkbox exercise. Some companies, they don't mean to do it, but they just end up doing it because of their own unconscious bias. And then some people at some companies actually are trying to help. So they're like, okay, we're going to get you in. We're not going to make any assumptions. Could you tell us about this? Or could you do a talk that explains a little bit about your heritage or your culture so that we can understand a bit better? But for me, it's microaggressions and underestimation that I've had to come up against my entire career. So I understand how it feels to be uncomfortable. So unless you're in a place where that happens to you, then it's difficult to understand.
Any other questions? As we're approaching, I think we've just passed 8:30 actually, so we're probably overrunning a little bit. We've got one more next to Alex. Okay, shall we pass that mic down? Look, I'm going to get up on the work.
It's just kind of continuing the conversation. What do you think a company that hired you could have done to make you feel like you weren't just a number to them, for them to meet certain agenda? What could they have done to make you feel more included and to make you feel like you weren't there just to tick a box?
I don't think there's anything that specifically can be done for a lonely person. If it's like, you imagine you just go to work and you just feel lonely. Like, imagine that's just you. You just feel lonely. And it's like, oh, what should your manager do about your loneliness? And I'm like,
it's
not necessarily the business kind of thing. However, when it comes to the three scenarios that you gave, that different companies that do diversity in different ways, some to tick a checkbox. Don't just do something to tick a checkbox just to say, hey, I've got one person here to do that. I would just say, don't do that. That's the one thing to not to do, if anything.
No.
But other than that, I'm happy that, for me, I'm grateful that I was able to put in the scenarios I'm put into. A lot of people do use it as a superpower and do utilize it. A lot of my friends are like, yeah, I'm the token black girl. That's the reason why I got the job. And not that they love it, but they take advantage of that scenario and they use it to the best that they can. Because if you're not taking advantage of a situation, what's the point? But just don't do it for the sake of being able to say that you have this in your company. It's like getting a cat just for the sake of saying I have a cat. Or having a child for just the sake of saying I have a child. You don't just have children just because I hate people.
I mean, this is a very difficult question for us to answer, because you have to understand that this industry was not built for us, right? This industry wasn't built to open the door for us. And now we are here. And then they're like, oh, now what? So let's hire a Black person to, you know, tick a checkbox, diversity, but they don't know what to do with us. That's just the truth. And as much as you have people that are talking Black girls, or, you know, the only, I'm still usually, as much as I'm at HOD, I'm in a senior position, when I go to meetings with directors and execs, I'm usually the only Black person in that room still. Everybody else is white. That's just the truth. So it is a difficult question for us to answer, because we still have a very long way to go. And the work is not for us. I don't have to fix the job of the industry. It is the industry's job to start being better and doing better. And this is like a whole different, longer conversation. And there's a lot of people doing amazing work. I have to just shout out Simon again, because Simon is just one of like the biggest supporters of diversity, inclusion, just being there, you know? So there is a lot of work to do. There is a lot of undoing that needs to be done. And it's not going to change in my career lifetime. Like, it's not going to change 180, but we are making steps to get there. And I just hope that those steps build up. I hope that there's more people, and like we can pave the, we're already paving the way for more people. It just really fills me with so much joy to see all of you. So we're already paving the way, but we still have a long way to go. So we can't really answer that question in like a definitive way, because we are still working against a system that doesn't really want us to be here. Maybe it didn't initially, but just wasn't built for us. And so they don't really know what to do. And now we're here. We're figuring out what to do for ourselves. That's what we're doing. I hope that helps in some way.
Yeah, and I just wanted to do a quick shameless plug, because my startup, Jelly, it's a corporate learning solution, like I said before, for inclusivity in the workplace. And these are the exact type of problems and issues that we're tackling, collaborating with different organizations. And those stories that you're telling, and the stories that you tell, that you were talking about when we met, those stories are very important, because what we do is these are lived experiences that we share with leaders of these organizations, and then work with them around how can we help your employees feel more engaged, more like they belong, so that they're more likely to stay, and it benefits you, but it benefits them as well. And I just wanted to point that out, that we are also working on it. That's it. I'm going to stop talking. Thank you.
I think we're probably approaching time to wrap up. I think Simon's like, yeah, Mark, good, just get going with this. But it's really lovely, lovely stuff that we heard here tonight. Really inspiring case studies from all of you guys, even from us, like our little two cents. I've got something I'd just like to share with you, really. It's from the report that Access VFX were involved in with UK Screen. I think it's maybe the first or second report they did. But I just wondered, I mean, you've heard all of what we've had to say. We've given you some really interesting, hopefully inspiring advice. I mean, is there anybody out there who still feels a touch of despair with this idea of trying to break in and, you know, penetrate the industry and get in there? Is there anybody who just feels like this is like an impossible little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, don't be shy. To share this with you then, there's a few hands raised, but just to share this with you, oh, I've got my contact lenses in now. I've got one eye that sees long distance, one eye that sees long distance. I'm going to try and read my phone screens. I believe it's like being trying to hook up. Right, so just to share with you, hopefully not make you feel too much despair, this report I think is relevant, this year's or last year's report. And in the animation industry, we've got, as far as representation goes, obviously progress has been trying to be made all the time. And we have 51% women working in animation versus 46% men. Now that's already toppled. That's fantastic. That's applause. I know you like to clap. And then in VFX, it's women 34%, men 64%. It's fantastic news. I mean, the more women in the community, the more comfortable you're going to feel, the less picked on, the less bullied, the less in the spotlight. It's progress, huge progress here from, you know, 30 years that I've been working. And then finally, we've got in post-production. So we've got 46% women versus 53% men. It's fantastic. That's fantastic. That's fantastic news. And as far as any workforce goes, we have 14% of that representation, 14% BAME workforce in animation, 14%. You think that the national statistic, I think, for, you know, ethnic minorities in the country is something like 10% of the country on average. You know, you look at the voting system, you'll see that 14%, we're above. This industry is actually representing more than the average demographic around the country. Visual effects, 19%. Wow. When did that happen? Where are you? Where did 19% representation BAME in visual effects, and finally 18% BAME workers in post-production. So most of that has come about really from the effort of these guys here working for Access VFX. And that man over there is trying to stay out of the spotlight, basically, putting in a lot of work and making a difference, Simon, making a difference. So on that note, I think we should probably just return back to some drinks and a little bit of networking. What do you think? All right.
Just wow. Obviously, you should have been there, but I'm sure you agree what an important and vital conversation that was. Before you go, a couple of things. Please go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, and leave us a review if you fancy it. And most importantly, please get involved with our Foundry-sponsored Global e-Mentoring Program. If you're in the UK, Europe, USA, Canada, Australia, or New Zealand, you can sign up for free to be partnered with an industry mentor or be a mentor yourself to folks aspiring or just getting started in VFX animation or games. Please note that in Europe, you need to be aged 18 and over, the rest of the world, 13 and over. Go to accessvfx.org/mentors and literally change someone's life. Thank you, Nene, Anne, and Mark for being incredible panel chairs and MC. Darren, Alicia, and Hamid for being our esteemed panel. Thanks to Josh Syrat, our videographer on the night, who recorded the audio, Steve Greaves on editing duties, and Tom Box for the graphics. Special thanks to Framestore, our gracious event host, and Foundry for their generous sponsorship. And finally, and more importantly, thanks to you for listening. If you would like to get involved with the work of XVFX or Access VFX, please get in touch via our website, accessvfx.org, or via our socials. We're Access VFX on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, X, or Facebook. We'll be back soon with another banger for episode 4. That just leaves me to say, from all of us at Access VFX, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks for listening. There we go. End of another Access VFX podcast. We really hope you enjoyed it. To find out more about what we discussed, our mentoring program, and events we're at, then head over to our website at www.accessvfx.org and follow us on social media. Big thank you for listening, and until next time, bye.